This episode is kindly sponsored by Doddle. Whether you're looking to start your investment journey or just interested in learning more, it can be pretty overwhelming knowing where to start. Doddle by AJ Bell is here to help. With Doddle, you can begin investing with no jargon straight from your phone. Doddle offers a range of investment products, such as Doddle's AJ Bell funds, offering a range of different risk levels from cautious through to adventurous. There are a range of different themes available to choose from, so you can invest in something you're interested in, such as big tech and the ability to invest in big brands. If you want to find out more about Doddle, visit the link in the podcast episode description to download the app and get started with your investment journey. Warning, Doddle does not offer advice, and remember, investing carries risk. Hey guys, and welcome back to the Pennies to Pounds podcast with your host Kia, and this is the podcast where we aim to dispel your myths, simplify difficult financial jargon, and rectify your own personal problems. Happy Monday, another episode, and this one is a very good one. I know I say that like every episode, but it's because I mean it. And this one is with someone who is absolutely smashing it right now, as you'll find out more in a little bit. But not only that, he is someone that I would call a brother. So, guest, who are you?
Emmanuel Sucro.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
A.K.A. Uncle E-Man.
Uncle E-Man is back,
and I'm your big bro. So
you are?
Yeah, we're here, man. We're here.
I'm happy to have you here because you have been just smashing it. That I was thinking like, wow, I have to go through E-Man's PA now to even just chat to him and see what he's doing, see how the family are.
It was mad. I got an email from the, I called.
Yeah, he called me.
Why is your PA emailing me? Like, well, you got a PA now, so maybe.
So I thought I'd level up as well.
Yeah, you know, I said, okay, sis, if you want to do it this way. No, but it made sense. Diary management and that.
Mic. Yeah.
Listen, I can't even tell you how much I've been looking forward to this. Like,
I'm so happy. I've been
looking forward to this. So like, but I don't know what questions you're gonna ask. I don't know what's gonna happen.
We're gonna have a good time.
We're just gonna have a good time, vibe, chill, and just enjoy, man.
Exactly. So, Emmanuel, for people who don't know you,
yeah,
what do you do? Like, who are you?
Yeah. Good question. So, I guess in definition, you say financial advisor. So
yes,
that's what I've been classed as. That's my occupation. I'm qualified, regulated by the SCA. I've been a financial advisor for over 15 years, but more now, I do a lot more on social media, a lot more TV, a lot more talks. So yeah, I just do all things finance, just whether it's money, whether it's grow your income. I do the motivation stuff. You know, you can catch me in church, you know, preaching and that. I do it all, man. We're just out here just trying to make people be better.
But I think you're doing such a great job at it, because I watch your stuff and sometimes even me who's good with my money, I'm triggered. You're like, yeah, if you're doing this, spending on this, and you haven't even done this for your mum, I'm like, wow, Emmanuel, the voice, tone needs to go down a little bit.
You know what? I love it. You know what? I love it, yeah, because I say stuff and I'm not talking about no one, yeah. I'm just talking in general. Like, I meet people, I do one-to-ones. I still do one-to-ones. Like, the reason I like to do one-to-ones with clients like that maybe don't have money is to understand what's going on with a normal person. Do you see what I'm saying? So I spend my days helping, like, footballers and musicians and people with a lot of money. But then I still like to do stuff in the evening with normal people just to find out what's going on. So then I'll do a video based on a meeting that I've had. I'm like, okay, this is what you're doing, yeah? And I tell the client, listen, you're going to become a video.
Like, you let them know.
You're going to become. There's no way we're having this conversation and you're not going to become a video. But don't worry. I won't say your name in the thing. We'll just do it. So I say the video now. Do you know what? I've had my brethren sit down and be like, now, Eman, I was triggered.
Triggered.
Like, I had one of my brethren tell me, you know what, Eman? I just moved back into my mum's house because I've had a divorce. And I'm like, well, you had a divorce. It's okay. But just me saying that, like, big man, at your big age in your mom's house, my man was emotional. He was onto. He's like, I was like, bro, I'm not even talking about you. You're not even in this. But my thing is that who is triggering us? Because I feel like a lot of financial content, like, it's just nice. It's like, hi guys, I know you're struggling with your money, but these are five things that you can do. And it's like, actually, big man, fix up. Like, who's giving you that? And that's where I'm just your uncle. You know your uncle. You go around to your uncle's house and your uncle's just giving you bad game and stuff. Like, that's me. I'm just Uncle E, man. I'm just giving you the game, like, in a harsh way, but we can smile and laugh and it's entertainment, right?
But I think it's what you say. It's a lot of people, like, try and dance over the topic. Like, oh, okay, cool. I mean, you could be better with your money, so here are some ways to do it, as opposed to saying, look, you spend loads on takeaway. You spend £300 on Deliveroo.
Come on.
But you haven't delivered any money to your account. Like, it's just actually having those conversations.
Come on.
And I think that's what people don't always do. And I think I like the fact that you come head on
have to,
with it.
Because sometimes it's frustrating, yeah? Because you'll meet, I remember, I never forget, I can't remember who was doing a show for, and this woman was talking about she wants to buy a house, can't buy a house, wants to buy, desperate to buy a house. So go, ain't got no money though, no money. Okay, cool. Go to the wardrobe. When you add the bags, the shoes, the coats, the clothes, all of a sudden, 30K plus in your wardrobe, but no money in your bank account for a house. And it's like, make it make sense.
Yeah. I think people, when you actually look at people's spending habits sometimes, I've spoken to people who say, oh my gosh, I'm so broke. I have no money for this. Yeah. And it's some people, again, this is nothing to do with maintenance because I like to keep myself maintained. Mm-hmm. But the people who are telling me, when you tell me you're broke and that's your nails are done, eyelashes, hair, and you bought new bundles as well on top of that, and you bought a new dress because you're going out 2 times this month, all of that. And I'm like, girl, that's like £600 right there.
Trust me. And it's your priorities. And I think the thing for me is, and for a lot of us, is that we are around people that do similar. So actually, who is correcting you? Because if you're in an environment where everybody makes these decisions where they choose like outward beauty or how they look or being in certain venues or going to certain clubs or being on certain holidays or certain trips over the fundamentals of what are you like, imagine living a life, getting to 50, 60, 70, and you got nothing to show for it.
It's true.
There's nothing you can say that you own. Like you've been on this earth for 50, 60, 70 years and you own nothing.
Yeah.
But you just got bare pictures on Instagram. To me, that's not living. That's not how it makes sense. So I'm like, there has to be balance. Like, do you know what I mean? Even with you, look, I see you all over the place. I'm still giving you that phone call like, yo, are you making this pee? You're like, man, come on.
Come on. You think I'd go anywhere if I wasn't earning any money? I will stay in the United Kingdom. It's not by force.
No, and that's the thing. So for me, when I feel my content, sometimes I feel like the reason I call it the E-Man effect is that people used to come to me and be like, yo, E-Man, like, I was in the shop, I was going to buy something, and I heard your voice say, you don't really need that, put that down, my G. And they said, I call that the E-Man effect. And then I had just 5-6 people just keep telling me the E-Man effect. That's the E-Man effect. And I was like, all right, that's not the name of my company, the E-Man effect, because that's what I want to have. Yeah, we can laugh and we can banter, but when you're going to make that financial decision, if you don't have that person in your group that can be that voice, hopefully I can be that voice to you to say, look, actually, that money can be better spent doing other things. Now, there's balance. Obviously, enjoy. Obviously, you know, I want you to do the things that you enjoy. You make money, enjoy it. But sometimes we are 100% enjoyment and nothing on the saving, on the investing, on the building. And that's the point that gets someone on earth. You will spend money, you'll get paid and give your money away, but you won't invest it in yourself? I can't rate that. I can't. When I ask people, when's the last time you did a course? When's the last time you read a book? When's the last time you went, you went on holiday, but you're still culturing yourself. You're still going, you're still looking around, you're still learning about other people's cultures, you're still networking, you're still opening yourself to new environments. Sometimes you can go on holiday and actually it can benefit you because you're like, right, this is how I want to live. Now let me go back and work. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I want to be able to do this regularly. So actually, let me go on holiday, enjoy my holiday to give me the motivation. So when I'm back in London and it's raining and it's cold, I can be like, whoa, let me get my work done because I know I want to be back out there again.
Yeah.
You see what? But people are just going on these meaningless holidays, nothing to show for it.
It's true.
Just for likes. Like, it's likes true. Is a currency.
That's the thing. And I think I wanted to go into it, right? So let's talk about this generation.
Yeah, let's go.
So, aka my generation, because I'm Gen Z. So the Gen Zers, but it's not just limited to Gen Z.
Of course.
Even people, you know, in the early 30s as well. I think there's this big issue with image.
Come on.
Right? And I'm going to tell you a little story. When, I don't know, maybe about 2 years ago now, I went on someone's podcast and I remember it was in East London. So I'd driven there, I live around the corner, drove there, and I had at the time a little Kia Picanto, so a little still silver one, 2008 plate.
Yes.
My dad had bought me.
Yes.
And I got there and then the guy whose podcast I was on, he was my brother's age. So he was probably like about 18. He had his podcast doing his thing and I'm like 22, right? And I pulled up and I remember on his podcast, whilst recording, halfway through, he says, yeah, by the way, Key, you pulled up in like a tiny car and like, rah, surprised. And I think it's the thing, why were you surprised? And he said, because I just thought, like, knowing what you do, I thought you would have a Range or something. Like, I didn't think you'd have like a little old car like that. And I remember I had to school him on his own podcast. And I said to him, just because my car isn't flashy, you don't know what my wealth is saying. You have no idea how much I've got invested, how much I've got saved.
Yeah.
If you're assuming people's wealth based on the outward material thing, so
whether they've got this flashy car, they've got a Rolex on, that means absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
With regards to what I actually have in the bank. And I just find it so interesting that I remember because I had that car for about 2 years and then it got written off. But during that time, I remember I had people who were obviously jokingly mocking me that I had that car and this and that. And I'm like, wow. It's so interesting how people really place so much emphasis on what you have. And then I, on your flip side, I have a friend who, well, a couple of friends back in uni who had cars on finance. And if they miss a single shift, that car is gone.
Come on.
So it's the, but on outward, like outwardly, they probably say, well, that person probably got more money than Kia does because their car's nicer. But do you know what I mean? Like, what do you think about that?
Yeah, but I think that's the scam, right?
Yeah.
That's how they scam people. Yeah. So the scam is to, if you can't be wealthy, look wealthy. I don't want that. Mm-mm. I don't want to look wealthy. I want to be wealthy. I don't want, and too many times we are comfortable looking like something. So for example, like, you know, we all use a little filter in that, but sometimes we're changing ourselves so much that we're not even recognizable.
Exactly.
Like, I've met people like, oh yeah, E-man, it's da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, no.
You can't recognize them.
I don't recognize you. Then I have to go on Instagram and show me that, oh, no, this one is not mashing.
Mm-mm.
It's not mashing.
Mm-mm. I stopped using filters like a year and a half ago because of that reason.
And it's like, I just use it as an example. If you want to use a filter, knock yourself out. Do what you got to do for you. But the point I'm trying to make is that we are too comfortable looking like and not being.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I'd rather be. Like you said, like we have been told that Mercedes, BMW, whatever, German whip, like you're doing well. Now everyone's getting the range and whatever. And it's like, okay, cool. I get it. But that has, like, all that says is that you can afford a monthly payment.
That's it.
So because you can afford a monthly payment, that doesn't make you wealthy. Like, and what happens when you don't have wealth? What you do is you surround yourself with things that look like you're making good money. So you've got people who will like rent a house in central London because now they look like they're doing well. All you're able to do is make a payment. As long as you can make a payment. Now, to make that payment, that it doesn't even equate to the fact that because you can make that payment, that you've got a great job. You might have three shift jobs. You might be doing shift work. Like you work in a MacD's, you work and then in the evening you're doing security. Do you know what I mean? And then on the weekend, you're cleaning.
Yeah, so you barely even get to enjoy what you are like, yeah, showing off.
But then you got the nice house in Central. You've got a nice car, but you're tired. You're working just mad hours
Mm-mm.
to try and live this lifestyle. For me, I feel like actually I understand I'm already valuable. Like my value comes from within. So if I wear it, it's valuable rather than the other way around.
Exactly.
And so when you start to love yourself, and this is why when I sit down with clients, I'm like, you don't love yourself.
Like, and that's a harsh one, you know, that's a serious one.
You don't love yourself because if you loved yourself, there's no way you say you love yourself, but now you would put yourself in financial difficulties to impress others.
Others who don't even care, by the way.
Come on.
Like, I really don't care if my friend's driving a Range, or I might say, oh, that's a nice car. And then that's it. I don't care after that.
I'm not more your friend or less your friend.
No, I really don't care. You can drive a 2003 old car. I'm still going to get it the same way. You've got a car.
Yeah. And then, like for me, I always use this example. We're all in the lockdown, yeah? Nobody could go to work. Nobody could go anywhere. We're stuck in our house.
Mm-hmm.
How many of these so-called friends called you?
Mm-hmm.
When they could go nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't leave their yard. They couldn't go nowhere. Only remember them time, 1 hour walk.
And what else was you doing with your time? I was so bored.
And then still, they didn't phone you. People were dying. Remember them times?
Mm-hmm.
1,000, 2,000, 5,000, 10,000 people dying. They never phoned to check, are you okay? Is anyone in your family okay? They never called you. But now, you're in here getting debt. You're in here buying stuff that you don't really need. You've got multiple different things of the same thing item in multiple different colours to impress people that really and truly, if you're dead or alive, they wouldn't even know unless they see you at the party.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? And it's like, actually, why are we doing what we're doing?
Yeah.
If I've got people around me that force me to do things outside of my comfort zone for my detriment, I need to change my circle. You should be forcing me to do things outside of my comfort zone for my betterment. You should be telling me, right, are you scared of public speaking? Come, let's do a public speaking course. Oh, you're not comfortable reading. Let's join a book club. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Like, these are the types of friends you need. People that say, okay, what are your flaws? And let's see how I can help and support you to be a better version of yourself. But we would rather spend money and make ourselves a worse version of ourselves in order to impress others.
Yeah. It's that just really hit, because that is it. That's actually the nail on the head.
Come on.
And I think when you surround yourself with the right people, like I remember, and I attribute a lot of things to this person, but I had a friend when I was at university as well, and I was very shy.
Yeah.
I know it's hard to believe. I know it's hard to believe. But I was a very extroverted person. I got to university, didn't know anyone, and I became an introvert again.
Yeah.
And I hated pictures. I hated being the limelight, anything like that. And he was a photographer.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to be like, "Kia, let's take pictures. Let's take pictures for you. Like, because you want to do Instagram, all of this. Let's take pictures." And then shortly, I think about 3 months after that, when I started taking pictures with him, that's when everything blew up with Pennies Pounds.
Exactly.
And I always say, had he not pushed me out of my comfort zone, he was taking me to creative events, go meet this person, that person, like making all those connections. Yeah. Had he not done that prior to everything taking off, which I couldn't have predicted anyway,
yeah.
I might not have felt confident enough to say, I can do this and I'm going to throw myself in the limelight and I'm going to, whatever it looks like, I'm just going to take it and run with it. And I think it's so important to surround yourself with the right people when it comes to your finances, especially.
And I think sometimes you miss a trick. Like, for me, I love my, like, when I first saw you on the socials, when you just blew on the Twitter thing, I was like, who's this? Who is this? Like, I've got to know this person. Like, I don't think people think like this.
No, I don't think they do.
But this is, see me, when I see someone talented, especially in my industry, like in my field, I said, what? No, wait, I got to know you.
Yeah.
I got to know you. And then we did an event.
Yes, like, we did, yeah.
We're friends from an event. Then a company hired, and we both had the same company.
Yeah.
And then we both left. Like, you know what I mean? It's just like, but it's like, for me, I can't see talent. I can't see greatness. And then not say, look, how do we work together? Mm-hmm. How do we keep in touch? Because you should always want to improve your surroundings, and you should always want to learn. So as much as, yeah, there's an age gap between us, bruv, you could teach me anything. I can learn anything. Might have learned mad stuff from you.
And vice versa. We have had conversations and I've taken stuff away as well.
And that's what it's about. It's about actually not thinking that you're the finished article. It's always about, how do I improve? Who do I surround myself with? What's your energy? Like, even like when we worked on the last project we did, like, that was amazing.
That was so good.
It was amazing on set. Like, it was amazing on set. It was amazing seeing you, how you're creative, your ideas, how you flow. Da, 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 da. I was like, wow. Like, you're natural. It's your first, you're natural. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, actually, who are you surrounding yourself with? Are you surrounding yourself with people that inspire you? Like, I'm on set. I've been on set bare times. I'm watching you. I'm like, yeah, no, she's amazing.
Man, you're going to make me cry.
No. I'm like, she's amazing. And I can call her my sis. Do you know what I mean? It's like, that's what you want. You want to be around people that you can say, rah, they're amazing. And I consider them family.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what we should be. That's what we should be wanting to have in our circles. We shouldn't be sometimes we just have friends. Oh, we went primary school together.
Yeah, it's just a legacy. It's like, oh, I've known them for so long. So I feel like I need to keep them in my life.
That doesn't make them your friend. Like, that doesn't make them a friend. That just makes them a person that you've known a long time. And when we start to understand that concept of, actually, are you actually my friend? Are you actually someone that there's reciprocal value? Because there's no, a friendship, there must be value exchange. Yeah. So if the value might, even if it's just, you make me laugh or you make me smile or whatever, that's fine. But there needs to be value exchange. Yeah. If somebody, you know, you got that friend when they call, you know, you're like, oh Lord, like, I can't answer that phone. That's not, you need to let it go. It's okay.
Yeah.
We're just in different spaces. I don't hate you. You don't hate me. We're just different people walking different journeys. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I always tell people, think of yourself like a business. Like, if a business, you've got a supplier and your supplier's not delivering on time, your supplier's letting you down and it's hurting your customer service, as a business, you find a new supplier. You wouldn't even feel bad. You're just like, I've got to run my company. I've got bills to pay. I've got staff to pay. I've got to move on. But we don't do the same as when it comes to friendships. And that's what we need to do. Think of yourself as a business. Like, you are Kia PLC. Like, do you know what I mean? And you've got to make sure you're making the right decisions for yourself and for your life, do you know, as a business.
No, this is just, I'm clicking, man, I'm clicking. Right, I want to talk to you a bit. I've touched on this topic a little bit on this podcast about dating.
Come on.
Yeah?
Let's talk about it. I need to drink some water. I need to drink some water. Come on.
Let's talk about dating. So I touched on this topic on the episode with the Gen Z Club.
Okay, cool.
So that was a very interesting perspective. Of Obviously, course. They are Gen Z, so Gen their perspective Z, is going to be interesting.
I gave them boys a few talkings to as well.
Exactly. Yeah. But that was an interesting conversation with them. Mm-hmm. How, yourself, you are a married man with kids, so you have a different outlook. Of course. Dating, and especially when the finances come into that, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I want to talk to you. So there's going to be people who are listening and watching. I know that there's more onus on men, especially.
Of course.
But people who want to, they say, right, you know, I want to start dating. I want to find the one. I'm ready to settle down. But financially, I'm not there. She wants to go to Hakkasan and Nobu. And I'm going to take her to the Shard. And that's all just money.
Yeah.
What's your perspective on this generation, how they should look at dating and their finances? Do you think, because the Gen Z boys said that they see it as like a hobby, so they have their fund. You know, if you're going to date, you got to make sure it's an expensive hobby to have.
Of course, of course.
How do you view it?
A bit like that. I think personally, like, if your money is lacking, like, what are you doing? What are you trying to do? Like, if you ain't got dough, if you ain't got money, what are you doing trying to move to gal? Like,
don't you think they deserve love too?
No, they do. But obviously, you have to understand what girl you're moving to.
Mm.
Do you understand what I'm trying to say? One of my problems is that a lot of men want to move to the prestige girl. You understand? You want to move, you meet the girl, she does her hair regular, nails, even the makeup. She does, you saw her online. Her makeup tutorial was like 1.5 hours just for makeup. about 25 different products just for makeup. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So you see the clothes. She does hauls, clothes. Like, you know, you move into the prestige girl. You ain't got no pee. Chill out, bro.
Mm.
Chill out. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
You need Betty from the block. You understand?
Betty from the block.
You understand? Betty's cool. Betty's ready to go on that D's. You understand?
Yeah, she's relaxed. She's chill.
She's chill. She's a rider. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? She's ready for your situation. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
You and Betty might even grow together. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You all level up together. But know your pocket, innit? Like, let's be honest. Know your pocket. Man want a date before you... It doesn't make sense. My cousin told me this, and I always... Like, you will lose money chasing girl, but you will never lose girl chasing money.
Mm.
Yeah? Like, so... The more money you make, the more the level of woman that is going to be attracted to you. So your options are even more open. Do you see what I'm saying? Because of the spaces that you're in. Like, I tell people now, I'm married, but you see, doing my job right now, I meet the most successful black women. Like I mean black women that make stupid amounts of money, business owners, big deals. It is so attractive. Like, the way they dress, the way they talk, the way they walk with power and esteem and stuff like that. And it's like, that's the circles that you're in. Do you see what I'm saying? And so for me, the driver for me, let's say if I wasn't married, me focusing on developing myself and growing myself only means that the level of woman that I'm now surrounded by is increasing and better.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I'm saying? So sometimes you're throwing all your eggs at a basket, but you're throwing at that level that you're at. Now all of a sudden, you're not ready. You're going too early. And what happens when you go too early? You full start.
Yeah.
So now you've got a young girl pregnant, like she's struggling to find herself, you're struggling to find yourself, now you've got a child to look after, now the whole thing's deviated because you're just too much in a rush. Like, sometimes you got to take it easy and understand, okay, where am I at? Actually, you have to also think to yourself, like, men are just walking out here bareback, recklessly,
mm-hmm.
but you're in no position it's a financial commitment.
It is. Like, it is, having a child.
I tell people, marriage is a financial commitment. Having a child is a financial commitment. So having unprotected sex is a financial commitment,
mm-hmm.
because there's a potential that you can get someone pregnant and then you've got 18 years. Do you understand? That's you. And these days, with this cost of living crisis, that's going to 25.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So for me, it's about you really looking at, where am I at? What's my priorities? Like, my real priority is me. When you're young, the biggest thing you can do is add value to yourself. Relationships will come. Do you know what I mean? You will naturally meet people. In fact, you chasing what you want, you'll meet people doing the same thing. So I've seen a lot of people who, I've gone on a gap year. And they've met their now partner on a gap year because they were on a gap year too. Like, actually doing the things that you enjoy and doing that will put you in an environment where you'll find like-minded people,
mm-hmm.
that you can walk to and grow together. I think sometimes we're so in a rush on a beauty thing. Oh, she's like, there's so much beauty. Like,
there's so
many.
Much.
Like, so much beauty. Oh, we got money. So many people got. Like, you got to start forgetting that and really understanding, what are their goals? What are your life goals? What are you trying to achieve? Because too much time, because of love, you want to get together. But the reality is that you wanna be here in the UK and they want to go back home and become governor or president, or they want to fight. And it's like, you're not balanced. It's not making sense.
It's not making
sense. So actually, you got to work out, where are you trying to get to? Where are you trying to go? Does that match? Do you work? Like, no one ever divorced, I'm divorcing because you're ugly.
That's true. It's always usually money or someone cheated on someone, you know, exactly. Something like that.
And the cheating a lot of the time is based on the disrespect or based on the gap between each other that has grown because your goals are different, because you're going in different ways, because you've grown apart, because you were never on the same path anyway. So the cheating is just the bit that kind of, okay, I'm out of it. Do you know what I mean? I've moved on to something else, or I found what I was missing. Do you know what I mean? And has anyone ever, I don't know if anyone, has anyone talked about the 80-20 rule on here?
No, go for it.
Okay, so in relationship, they always talk about there's an 80-20 rule. Like, so basically, your partner will have 80%, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the time, we are chasing the 20%. The 20% that your partner may not have, yeah? So, for example, you might like, even if your partner has a big bum, you might see someone else that has a bigger bum. Now you're chasing that. Or or they've got the shape because they've done all these body this and lipo this and Brazilian what this and that. And now they've got a shape. So now you're looking at that, but you forget that your partner feeds your emotions, feeds your kids, like, and supports you and got all the 80. And a lot of the time we are giving up 80 for 20.
The 20.
And actually, once you've got that, trust me, I speak to man them all the time. Man them will go and cheat. Now their partner will leave them. They will now start dating the 20, and they realize all the things they're missing. It doesn't even last with the now they're wishing to get back the 80. Now 80's gone to go and marry somebody else or going somewhere. Now you're troubling her, bringing problems to their house every day because you realize what you're missing and the fact that you can't find it again. So focus on your 80%. Focus on growing that. Focus on building that, and understand that, okay, you can't have everything.
Mm-mm.
Like, there's, I don't think we get to a place where we realize, okay, I can't have everything, but do I have the main things that are important to me?
The key values and the key morals that I hold dear to me, do they have that?
Do they have that? Because, come on, let's be honest. Especially me, like, you're Gen Z, you lot still got energy. Bruv, man's old, bruv.
You're not even old,
man's
that's the
old,
thing.
Like, man's not killing myself 150 times. Pick up, lift down, drop, roll. Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Please. And my wife, we've been together for a lot. We know ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We know when the kids are sleeping. We know what we can do quickly. We know when we've got the house to ourselves. We know what we can do. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
There's a balance. We know not every day we want to do flip up, flip down, stop this, start. are we gymnasts? It's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay because now you're sore for how many days?
Yeah.
For what?
Yeah.
Do you understand? So for me, it's like, actually, and this is another thing, like, for me, are you getting what you want? So for my... I see, there are beautiful women every single day of the week, but I get what I need for my wife. So I've got to remind myself, oh, this is not worth for what?
Jeopardizing for what jeopardizing. You have.
I've got man them that's gone out and jeopardized it. Do you know what I mean? And then when they've done it now, because it's wrong or because they're sneaking around or whatever, the excitement, man's busting 3-4 minutes, risking your whole 10-year relationship. For 4 minutes.
Yeah.
You're even embarrassed. You're telling them, oh, it just felt so good. Bro, you know, nothing. We know if we go round two, it's the same result. There's nothing about it felt so good. Bro.
Yeah.
You're just too excited. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
And actually, is it really worth it?
Mm-hmm.
You can create that excitement. Like sometimes, like, you know, my wife, we can create whatever environment we want to create. We can go away. Do you know what I mean? We can go to a hotel. I can meet my wife at the bar. I can bust some lines.
Yeah.
It can be whatever I want it to be. It's our relationship. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So for me, it's like, but where is it important? When it comes to money, me and my wife, we don't argue over money. Do you understand? We understand. When it comes to raising our kids, we understand ourselves. When it comes to the goals and dreams and sacrifices, you know how much hours man has? You know what? Come on, you know what hours we put in?
We put in
the places,
hours.
The places that we have to be.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Sometimes we're out late.
We're out late.
Seeing people during the day, then you're at an event in the evening. You're coming back late. My wife understands what I'm trying to do. So she's like, okay, I understand it. So it's about finding someone that can really be your partner. And that's what you want. You want someone that can be your partner. Everything else you can grow and build together.
I think this is so poignant because this is coming up right before Valentine's Day.
Oh, come on.
So this is like the best time for whoever needs this to hear that message.
Yeah.
And I think what resonated with me from what you said especially was the focusing on yourself part.
Yeah.
I think sometimes, especially in the Gen Z, I speak to a lot of people, whether in my friendship circle, people that I meet around similar age to me, it's always like, oh, but I'm single, especially with Valentine's Day around the corner. I'm single, I need to find a man, this is that. And I think you attach your worth so much to a partner that I'm like, okay, but what do you want to do? And it's just fallen by the wayside. I'm like, okay, right, you're working this job, you hate it. You said that last year. Why are we still here? Why are you focusing on a man?
Come on.
Do you know what I mean? I think it is that self-improvement, that self-development. If you want to go somewhere, like you mentioned, I've been on 2 holidays already this year. By the time this comes out, I'll be going on another holiday next week. But all of that is because I've been planning ahead. I knew from last year, I wanted to make this year the year I go on holiday. And I want to see the world. And I'm just focusing on myself.
And that's all you have to do. And that's a gift in itself. And sometimes you waste that gift of independence. Only have to, bruv, I've got 4 kids. Do you understand that? So before I can think of me, I have to think of my 4 kids. Then I've got a wife. So there are 5 people that I have to consider before I can think about what I want to do for myself.
Mm.
Did I appreciate that when I was single, when I was in my mum's yard and all I had to do was just get up and go? No, I didn't appreciate it. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So the point being is that sometimes we waste those years where you've got that time to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
We waste it. And it's like, actually, for you right now, you can develop yourself. You can work. You can think about, what are my flaws? What are the things that, if I really want a partner, what are the things that I need to be bringing to the table? What are the mindsets? You can watch videos. You can read books. You can go to conferences. You can speak to your friends that are in relationships and speak to them about, oh, what makes it work, and understand it so that you can prepare yourself. And when you're ready to commit to a relationship, you know what you're bringing. Because sometimes we have a high standard for others, but we have a low standard for ourselves.
It's true.
And it's so important that you use this time to build the standard of yourself so then you're matching. Because sometimes you have to say, okay, you if you write a list of all the things you expect, how many of them things can you do? I want a man that can cook. I want a man that can drive. I want a man making 100K, over 100K a year. I want a man that's this and that. Of all of these things that you are,
what can you do?
Which one is you? Because imagine if he's got the same list and you're not ticking any of them.
It's true.
Then you're saying, oh, I can't find the guy that I'm really looking for. That's because the guy you're looking for is looking back at you and not seeing the same thing.
That is true. That is very true. Nah, Emmanuel, it's just clicking with everything you're saying, man. It's just clicking. That's the only advice I've got for you. Just clicks. But I want to ask you, when it comes to Gen Z, not just Gen Z, but like young people and their finances, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So a lot of people listen to this podcast to get some gems. Like, what can I do to improve myself this year? And I think it's a great time. We're at the beginning of the year. If you look on social media, this is the new year for many people. They're saying, I'm starting February. This is my new year. But what can people do to actually say, right, I'm going to start today, start in February. So by December, I'm in a new place, a much better position with my finances.
Yo, I think the biggest thing for me, I always tell people, know your why.
Mm.
Before you commit to any change, anything like, why are you doing it? What is your why? Because once you understand that, that's what's going to make you actually continue to do it when things get tough. Yeah. So a lot of the time, people's why is not big enough. So I remember when I was starting out, when I was young, my why was to be able to retire my mum and look after my mum. And now I've been able to do that. So,
that's lovely.
Do you know what I mean? Now I've got my wife, my kids, then my wife. So I know that when I'm doing stuff, I know why I'm going to persevere even when things get tough. I'm going to endure the pain because I know what I'm doing it for. Do you know what I mean? So really understand your why. Then for me, it's then about setting goals. Like, have you actually set any goals? Like, and listen, this vision board thing, I think people don't play with it. I don't play with it, you know.
Mm.
Have your vision board. Like, have it. If you want to buy a yard, listen, don't just print that yard out that you're
thinking. I have it on my wall. I have a picture of that wall.
Not only that, go and book viewing.
Mm.
Go and book viewing and go and listen. There's something about bringing something into reality by being there. You see, if you go and visit a 7-bed house and you want to buy something, you will visit that. You've done it. You've been in a 7, you know what a 7-bed house is. You know what it's, now it's just to make it come to fruition. Mm. But you've been in it. You've experienced it. You know what you're paying for. So for me, it's about, okay, I see people, I want to buy that car. Go and test drive that car. Go take a picture of it. Make it come. But now, make sure you're doing the work. So when it's time, when work finishes at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock and you're at home, instead of watching EastEnders or watching reruns of this or swiping 2-3 hours on TikTok, actually, what am I doing so I can get that car? What am I doing so I can buy that house? What am I doing to make sure that the things that I've put on my vision board actually come to reality? Then it's about setting targets. So actually, what I always talk about, reverse engineering it.
Yep. Yeah. I'm with you on that.
So one thing people say, oh, I want to be a millionaire. I want to be a millionaire.
How are you going to get to all those zeros?
How are you going to get to a million? You ain't even got £10, my G. You haven't got £10 and you're talking millions.
Yeah.
So let's take it easy and let's break it down. What do I need to do annually? Mm-hmm. What do I need to do monthly? What do I need to do daily? When you work out what you need to do daily and you know, okay, as long as I do this daily and I do this for the next 4 or 5, I'm there. So then it's already happening. Do you understand? It's already going to happen. Sometimes the vision is so big, the goal is so big that it puts you off. It's like, oh, it's impossible. But when you start to rake up, what, so what? I just got to make £100 a day. And if I do that for the next 8 years or whatever it may be, do you know what I mean? I'm going to get there. Or I just do this, then I invest in that, buy that, boom, 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 I'm there. Okay, now you know the daily. The daily is so much more easier, so much more achievable, and you just keep to it. Then it's about consistency. This is the hardest thing for all of us.
Everyone.
Consistency. We can start, but to stay consistent, it's a different story. It's very difficult. So it's important for you to stay consistent. And one thing that helps you stay consistent is an accountability partner.
Mm-hmm. Mm? Yep.
They say something like you're like 80% more likely to achieve your goal if you have someone holding you accountable. And so for me, it's like, who is holding you accountable? How serious are you? Because if you're serious about it, somebody must be holding you accountable. Somebody must be checking in to say, you said you were going to do this. Did you do it? Oh, you said you're going to do that. You haven't done that. When is that going to get done? Like, who's holding you accountable to the things that you say you want to achieve? Because no one's an island. Sometimes we operate too much on our own. And that's why it takes us so long to get there. Like, I always tell people, like, online, like, I'm always like, listen, I've got a lot of Asian friends here. I never really see them holding their keys when they buy a yard.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so normal to them. Because that's what they do.
Yeah.
They know the strategy. They know how it, so they just get it done.
Yeah.
Like, but us, because it's not that common, we know how we've killed ourselves for years.
Mm-hmm.
Watching other people show their keys. So when it's our time now, we're buying balloons, we're fireworks. Like, do you understand what I'm trying to say? And like, other people are probably looking like, right.
Only that's one. Normal. Like, I've got three already.
Yeah, you understand. We're supposed to be doing this.
Yeah.
And so actually it's like, because we're doing it on our own. And sometimes it took us 8 years to buy one.
But we could have come together with friends or family members.
We could have had 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Sometimes you want to have 100% of nothing. Do you know what I mean? True. So have that accountability partner. Have someone that's pushing you, but someone that's working alongside you that wants to see you win.
Yeah.
And then for me, it's about getting started. Sometimes, you know, like investing. Kia, what fund should I invest in?
Yeah.
Where should I put my... Bruv, just start. Put it in something.
Just start.
Put an amount you can afford to lose. That £10.
Yeah.
Some of us, KFC these days, £10 gone. Just one less KFC a month.
Uber Eats, even Uber, £30. Because I know your Uber Eats order will cost you £30.
Come on.
Last night. So you can put that into investment.
You can put it in. So put it in, see what it does. Oh, actually, it's grown 5%. So wait, if I had £1,000 in there, 5%, I could have had, This is how we start to look at, okay, now I can make this money work for me. So now I can afford to put in more. Do you know what I mean? And build up. You don't have to start with £1,000 a month or 10 grand all at once. You can start with £5, £1, whatever. You can even do your change. Just get started.
Because I think there's always a reason why not yet. Like, I will when I reach this or when I get this much. I started investing in university when I found about it at 20 with £20. And bear in mind, uni, that £20 could have done my food shop. But I said, you know what? If I don't get this back, that's fine. And I threw £20 in. And the way I was obsessed with it, I was checking it every day, watching it go up and down. Exactly. And I said, actually, I can put more in here. And I just started like learning more about investing, what that looks like for me. I think it's just what you said, just get started. There's always a reason why not today.
Exactly.
But just do it today.
Yeah, get started. And then just have different, like, for me, like, I have different goals. I have goals with my wife. Like, me and my wife have goals. I have goals individually. I have goals for my children. And I have enjoyment goals.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are the things that I want to enjoy and do this year? Like, have plans for them. And then make your money accordingly. Like, so for me, like, I always tell people, budget sets me free. So some people, they're like, I don't like budgeting. No, the budget is not the problem. The problem is you're broke. That's why, you understand, people that have money don't mind to budget, you know? It's never a problem.
No.
You have a cash flow problem. That's your problem. So now increase your cash flow. Budgeting will allow you to be able to say, okay, I've allocated money. Because what the worst thing in life is that you get paid, you give it to your landlord, you give it to British Gas, you give it to EE, you give it all your money away to all these brands. Then you go back to work again. work for a whole month and then do it all over again. No, no, I've got to make sure my money, at least there's a portion of my money that's working to work for me. Not just investing, but also investing in myself. Mm-hmm. I ask people, how many, are you going to courses? Are you going to networking events? Because I tell people, like, you know, there are people that maybe say, oh, you know, E-man, I've got a normal job, do 9 to 5, I can't do it. Okay, cool. You might not be able to be wealthy. Like, you might not be a wealth, and you might not come from wealth, but make sure a wealthy person comes from you. Yeah?
Mm.
So with your children, the way you can set them up is by giving them a network. You might, giving them a network and taking out life insurance. I tell people, even if you ain't got dough, yeah, you can get a life insurance that guarantees on your death a set amount of money is going to pass on. So that's financial wealth that you're passing on. And then also, you can make sure you've built a network that you can then pass on to your children. So when they want, if they want to work in HR or if they need support when it comes to building, you can build that for them. That doesn't cost you anything. That just costs you time and energy. Do you know what I mean? So if you can't build the wealth through property or investing or through a business, you can do it through networking. And so for me, anyone that has that excuse of, oh, I can't pass nothing down, or it's just not going to be able to meet, life insurance and a network. Make sure you pass that one down.
That's amazing. Emmanuel, your gem's just always gem. Even when you and I have a conversation and we're not recording it, it's just you and I talking, I always take something away from our conversation. And I know many people will be watching and listening and saying, like, wow, gems. Yeah. And they're probably thinking, I want more of this. Thankfully, there is a place.
Come on.
That we can get more. So talk to us. Next week, so by the time this comes out, this will be in probably about 2 days' time.
Yeah.
You've got something amazing that you're doing and something that's coming out. Talk to us. What is it and what can we expect?
16th of February. Get your money right. E-man's first book.
Whoop, whoop.
Uncle E-man's an author.
Yes, sir. Did you ever, sorry, before you carry on, did young E-man ever think he was going to be an author?
Never.
Wow.
If you ever see my spelling, absolutely atrocious.
That's why we have ghostwriters. Exactly. We have ghostwriters for that.
Do you understand? And so, big up Timmy, Mr. Money Jar, because he helped me with the ghostwriting on this. So, you know, I got to voice note. I always tell people, don't worry about what you're not good at. Focus on what you're good at. You can pay somebody to do what you're not good at. Yeah? Mm-hmm. And this is how rich people make money.
Yep.
Rich people don't worry about what they're not good at. They focus on, okay, I'm good at this. Okay, I'm going to need X amount of money to pay the people for the things that I'm not good at. Yeah? And even if they don't have that money, as long as they can create a business plan, they can go and get that investment. Get
some funding to do it, to supplement it.
Someone will pay.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? If your idea works and it bangs. So the thing for me is that I knew that, you know, I'm not great at writing, but actually I know the knowledge is here. So all I need to do is find someone I could work with, that I get on with, that could help me do it. And so it's really important that people understand you don't have to, like, be limited by the things that you're not good at or your flaws. Like, you can find other people to do it. That's how people build wealth and build money over time. So to be an author today, coming from 4 GCSEs, do you know what I mean? I got a third at uni. Like, this is just embarrassing.
This is a testament to you.
No, facts. This is like, what I'm trying to say is you're not defined by your situation.
Exactly that.
A lot of the time we go through things in life. You think, oh, I failed my exams. I'm a failure in life. Bro, you're 16. You're 18. You're 21, whatever it is. Like, you still got so much life to live.
I can't remember the last time someone asked my GCSEs or my A-levels.
Come on.
Never.
I don't even, they're not on my CV.
Exactly, because it was so long ago, it's not even relevant anymore.
So the point being is that you're not defined by these moments. Like, obviously do your best and try and get the best you can. But if it doesn't work out, it's okay. Like, you live, you learn, and you keep moving on. So to be here today, like, next week you're going to have the book launch. Like, I got some of my old teachers coming.
I
got one of my branch managers coming. I got people that along the journey have really, I was speaking to my old head of year, who literally wrote a letter for me to be able to get into college. Like,
wow.
I
didn't have
the grades to get into college. He wrote a letter and then they let me in to the college. And it was like, he was like, I'm the first one of his students to become an author. Do you know what I mean?
Wow.
And he's like, he's so proud of me. And it's like, actually, you can, don't ever allow society to define you. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes you might think, I obviously thought, I'm not mad articulate. Like, I come from normal places. Like, I'm from council estate. So I'm not, my vocabulary ain't crazy. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But man has a message. I have a way of how I've learned money, and it's worked for myself. It's worked for my clients, and it's worked for people around. And so I'm able to share that. And so I say that to people to say the same thing. Like, you have a life experience or you might have gone through something in life that can add value to people. Don't feel like, oh, because it's not the norm that you do, that you shouldn't pursue it. Do you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Because I'm not just an author. I'm a published author, as in I had a publisher pay me
yes.
money to write a book.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not self-publishing. There's nothing wrong with self-publishing because sometimes, why wait? If they're not going to, if no one's going to back you, back yourself. Do you yeah. know what I mean? But for someone to say, look, actually, we love your style. We love the way you do it. We're going to pay you to write a book.
It's wow. touching.
It's so emotional. So we got the book, Get Your Money Right. Listen, it's exactly that. It's about getting your money right. We talk about how money started. A lot of people don't understand the system that we're in. If you don't understand the system, how can you beat it? How can you understand how to work it? So it talks about how the system works, why we need financial education in schools, because that's a big thing I'm going to be pushing going forward, is getting financial education into schools. We then talk about how to make money work for yourself, how the credit system works, how to get out of debt, how to use debt in the right way. You know, we talk about property, we talk about investing, pensions, life insurance, wills, estate planning, and then the big ending, philanthropy.
So important as well.
So when you're a real G, when you're the big G, so people think it's about making money. The big like stunt, when you can stunt, is when you can have so much money that you can just give it away.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? And so for me, it's like, actually, you have to, that's the big, that's how it ends. But it's more than just a book, it's a guide. So the plan is that whatever, you can read it from cover to cover and so forth, or listen to it, because there's an audio book in my voice, by the way. So you can listen to Uncle Eman at bedtime. So whether that's a good thing or not, I don't know.
Oh, no,
I don't
know. It'll be nightmares or dreams. We don't know. We'll see.
We'll see. But you can listen to Uncle Eman at bedtime. But yeah, you with the book, it's something that you can go back to. So if you are thinking, I'm going to buy a house, because there's so much information out there. So many people, like, actually, you can read the chapter, read that chapter as an individual chapter, and just go directly to what relates to where you're at financially. And so for me, it's a guide that can live on, because it's like my 15 years of financial advice and all the things I've learned, and hopefully helps people get their money right.
Emmanuel, I can't wait. I'll be there at the book launch. So make sure you watch Pennies Pounds, our Instagram story. You'll see it on there. I am attending that book launch and I can't wait to get my hands on a copy.
Yeah, no.
I'm going to be reading that from cover to cover. So make sure you do the same. Everything will be linked below anyway, so you can have a look and check it out. But Emmanuel, as always, conversations with you are never dull and they're full of gems. So thank you so much for coming to the podcast. For anyone listening and watching, where can they find you?
Listen, before I say any of that, let me big up my sister Kia. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, don't do that. Like, I'm going to blast my own podcast. Like,
if I tell you how much I love Kia, yeah, I love her so much. She's such a genuine person. She's such a, like, you know, like we would say, like, oh, you're a good girl. Like, she's such a good girl, like, kind hearted. She's always thinking of others. Like, she never embarrasses me. Like, you know, like, we in public, she's never embarrassed me in public. And I say that because a lot of you lot embarrass me in public. Like, she never embarrasses me in public. She does so much. She works so hard. Like, and you know what? Like, she could easily allow all of the attention and fame and everything like that get to her head. She doesn't. She's so humble. Like, she's pretty, but she acts like she's ugly. I love it, man. I love it. She's just so down to earth. She's such a good girl. I see her with her dad and her brother, and the way she is, she's humble. Even now, she's making pee. Like, we were talking the other day, she bought a new car, and people were like, why did you buy this? Like,
I was like, I like the car. I didn't want to flash or anything. I wanted to buy it outright, and I just bought the car that I bought.
She bought the car that she could buy outright, and she liked it. And it's like, I love that. None of this changed you, like, do you know what I mean? You got the deals with Nike and all of the stuff that you're doing. I'm so proud of you, like. So when I got to come on here, I'm like, what? My sister's thing? Because obviously I've been on this from time, but we was in lockdown, so.
Yeah, I know,
like,
I know.
Face to face in the building, I was like, I'm so proud of you, like. Keep doing your thing. I am your number one fan, supporting you all the way.
Thank you.
If you want to catch me at the E-Man Effect on all social media platforms, at the E-Man Effect UK, Emmanuel Suko on LinkedIn, EmmanuelSuko.com is the website. And yeah, man, we're here, man, helping people. If you want to get a one-to-one, you want to sort out your finances and all that, we're here. But make sure you grab a copy of the book.
Yes, sir. Get Your Money Right, out on the 16th of February. So make sure you get your money right and purchase that book. Emmanuel, oh, I can't believe you. I didn't expect that at the end of the podcast, but I appreciate you so much.
Come on.
And everyone, thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back in next week with another episode. Bye, guys.